It's time to talk AFL because there is potential for a real clash of ideologies, footballers wanting more of the pie, the AFL resisting. Nick Bowen from AFL Media joins us. And Nick, we hate to even contemplate the idea of a player strike, but our number one on-field man, Paddy Dangerfield, is front and centre in leading the players in what could possibly be a pre-season revolt. Good morning to you.
G'day, Finey. Surely not. Surely not. We haven't had that before. I just hope it's strong words. The PA pushed this fixed percentage last time around 5 years ago. They didn't get it. There seems an even greater determination to do it this time around through Paul Marsh at the helm of the PA. Look, something's going to give at one end, finally, doesn't it? I mean, I'm not sure whether it'll be the AFL or the PA, but I think the last thing we want to see is a strike, and the players would want to be pretty careful about it because I think that, you know, there's a general goodwill, I think, from the fans, I think, but that'll be threatened if they go down this path. And, you know, there is the women's competition going to be running around the same time as the pre-season comp, and, you know, I think that the fans will just get sort of behind that. So, very interesting times.
You're not talking about a league of their own. Remember that movie where the men were off at war and the women and their baseball became more prominent, or was the number one comp in town? I don't think that's going to happen. But Gil McLachlan has resisted or rejected a request to meet with members of the AFL Players Association, their delegates that include Paddy Dangerfield, Easton Wood, Matthew Pavlich, gathering tomorrow at Torquay.
Yes.
And they've invited the league's CEO, Gil, to come down and address them, and he has rejected that invitation.
He has. The AFL will have Ray Gunston, their chief number cruncher down there, and Andrew Dillon, their legal counsel. So it's not as though the AFL won't be represented by some of the senior people down there. But Gil, obviously, I imagine, thinks that things aren't that close, that there's any real point in him being down there. So to me, suggests that there's still a fair way to go before we get the new CBA signed off on.
9429 1116. The AFL Players Association is by definition an organisation created to look after the rights of those elite footballers who make up AFL lists. Do we as football fans feel that they are serving the game best? Yes, they look after the rights of the players, but sometimes do those rights overlap what us football fans would see as reasonable and fair and for the betterment of the game? And that's really the question that we as football fans need to ask and give the AFLPA and the AFL footballers that feedback. I don't think that they're being, and again, I don't know the nuts and bolts of the case, so when it comes down to dollars and cents, but I don't get a sense that they're being overly greedy in this. Do football fans feel that the AFL Players Association have overstepped the mark? I think that they, given when it comes to incidents involving individual players and transgressions with the law and the clubs, etc., I think the AFLPA do a wonderful job in representing the rights of the players, because players are people and individuals, and they need an organisation to stand up for them. When it comes to asking for more money, I really don't know whether they're being greedy or not.
No, look, it's a funny one, Finey. I think that the AFL have really, for a long time, heavily resisted this sense of a fixed percentage. Andrew Demetrio, last time around, you'll remember, called it a really lazy way of doing business. Gil McLachlan seems to take the same attitude. But the PA are really, really hell-bent on getting that through. I'm not sure why. I think that there's certainly other ways that the players are going to get, you know, paid very well, get a pay increase. I think that the minimum being talked about for the increase next year of the TPP is 10%. Now, I think all of us in the real world would jump at a 10% pay rise next year. So I'm just not sure, by locking yourself into that particular model, Finey, that it really gives you sort of any flexibility. And it's going to be, if they back down on it now, they're going to lose face. So I'm not sure why they'd lock themselves into that demand.
Let's go to callers, 9429 1116. A couple of very interesting ones off the SMS in a divided issue. Just very quickly, spot on for Nick Bowen. You've got it in one. This is a personal Paul Marsh agenda, make no mistake. But then from another of our listeners, that's bollocks, Nick. Oh, gee, I love the word bollocks. All the power to the player. I go to the footy to watch Pendles and Sidey, not Gill and Mark Evans.
Well, the money's
hashtag player power.
I mean, Gill and Mark are paid very well, but they're not talking about the money going there. They're talking about the money going back to the clubs. Now, you know, people talk about the players. I don't think any supporter wants to see their clubs sort of suffer because their distributions go down for what the players are getting. And then there's the grassroots as well. If we're not getting the money into there, the players longer term will suffer because we're not going to get the same development going into those kids. So I think that's a pretty narrow-minded viewpoint.
That's where I step in. And not just the grassroots, a club like Frankston in the VFL, which is in recession, hopefully for just 1 year, has been a wonderful opportunity for certain players to further their careers, having been overlooked in the draft. We think of the likes of Tory Dixon, a couple of the Essendon boys, or Hibbert, I think, who's
from there. Yeah, he was a Frankston boy as well, yes.
Yep. No longer a Bomber, now a Demon, Bagley. Yep. These are very important for the Mornington Peninsula and that area that Frankston exists in the VFL. They've gone by the wayside.
Well, North Ballarat almost had a vote on Monday night, finally, as to whether they continue.
Well, there you go.
Fortunately, they have, but money's pretty tight up there as well. And you look at that Ballarat region, it's the same. That club's offering the same benefits up there.
Let's go to callers. Greg's in Heidelberg. Morning, Greg.
Yeah. Can you send it to me?
Yeah, sure, I can, but you'll have to take this call first. We'll try Lucas in North Melbourne. G'day, Lucas. How are you, Lucas?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I sort of see this from both sides. I think it's very important that the players have played well. That estimate sort of set it in a sense of they are the reason that the numbers are generated the way they are. And players hear figures in the media like everyone else, like new TV deal, $2 billion. Just prick up and think, I've been on 180 grand for 3 years and I've busted my leg and I can't get a contract extension that's worth any more than that. You know, we want a bit more. But by the same token, I think they get an extremely good deal that no other professional sport has, and that's the ability to pick and choose where they move relatively 100% up to them. So I think they should be asking definitely for more, but not potentially shutting it down for unless they get 20% or something.
Well, I think Lucas really echoes football fans that we know they're the show. Nobody's under any illusions. Football drops away, as far as a spectacle, pretty rapidly when we depart from the top level.
Yep.
We want to see the stars playing the game, and we also want the wages to be lucrative enough to make sure that there's not a noticeable bleed to other sports.
Exactly, fine. And I think the AFL's committed to that. I you know, without wanting to sound like I'm really sort of, you know, a parrot for them, I just think that the PA have really blocked themselves into a corner with this demand for a percentage, a fixed percentage. And I don't think that's the only way that you can achieve what they want to achieve, and which is good pay rises. I think that there's other ways to do that, but they've really, really backed themselves into that corner.
You know, my sort of gut feel is when I hear of a contract discussion, your middle of the road player, obviously a very good footballer. I'll give an example. Say somebody like a Dion Prestia.
Yes.
I get a sense that he's come to Richmond and somewhere in the vicinity of $500,000 a year. I'm only guessing.
A bit more than that.
North of that, maybe up to 700.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So he's up to 700. Chris Mayne, $500,000 a year.
Yes.
Oh, that's pretty good money.
It's fantastic money.
And that sort of trickles down, and other players maybe who've just been able to continue their career or get a contract extension at the lower end, maybe a 22nd or 26th player, around your $250,000 a year to $300,000. The general feel I get from football fans is they're not overpaid, but they're certainly not underpaid.
No, look, and I suppose they're the relevant ones to look at, aren't they? I think that the guys who are middle of the road to sort of at the lower end of the pay scale, and you know, you might have a lower base wage. We saw Xavier Richards at Sydney, I believe, was offered around $150,000 to continue. But when you have those deals, you've got also the, you know, the match payments thrown on top of that. You've certainly got incentives to earn more for, you know, best and fairest finishes, that sort of thing. So look, they are well paid, but I think that you know, that we certainly, when we look to see these increases, it's probably those players at the lower end that we're really looking to see perhaps get a little bit more.
Off the SMS, I've got to watch my club, and whatever player runs out in the club jumper, that's who I follow. Let the player strike. I'll just follow my local side. Greedy bunch of kids. Disgraceful tactics in an environment when many workers don't get pay rises. Greg's in Heidelberg. Now we're with Greggy. How are you, mate?
Hi. Yeah, thank you. Look, I just think it's hypocritical of the AFL to have salary caps on players and salary caps on clubs, and they don't have a salary cap on themselves. You know, they award bonuses to their senior executives that are two or three times the top players' salary. The players are the ones that should be looked after. I mean, the cricketers have taken over as being the better paid group of sportsmen compared to the AFL, which is crazy. They should be getting a very, very good percentage of the total income, and there should be a cap on the AFL. The AFL shouldn't be allowed to hire senior executives and to give themselves all these bonus payments.
Greg, I want to throw it to Nick. Yeah. We certainly get where you're coming from. These payments for top executives at the AFL are a reflection of the business that is the AFL and the profit that is returned. I think they have to be separated from a player's wages who, when you're in an AFL system, you are guaranteed X amount of money.
Mm.
Chief executives in companies, even though that's not publicly listed, the AFL, live and die on the financial viability of the company they're responsible for.
We only have to look at banks and the bonuses that CEOs get there. And
how are they going, the banks?
The top executives are doing pretty well, aren't they?
You know you're going well when you have to report your profits in 6 monthly terms because it's just so obscenely large that it's embarrassing to do it as a yearly.
Yeah, you certainly do. The point I'd take with Greg there, Finey, is he talks about the cricketers being better paid, and he's right about, say, the top 25. But we're talking with the AFL about over 800 players here that are all paid pretty well. Now, if you go down to the 800th cricketer in Australia, they're on, they're really working, aren't they? I mean, whatever they're getting is just a little bonus here or there.
Well, welcome back. Nick Bowen from the AFL in the studio. We have been discussing a potential player strike for the NAB Challenge with an agreement on player payments yet to be reached. AFL Players Association flexing their muscles through words uttered by Paddy Dangerfield. Gee, we've had some great SMSs, Nick. I wonder where these people are at night. Not saying that the listeners at night aren't of the same quality, but maybe a long day and on a footy day, some of that mixed in with a little bit of lubrication. Don't get anything like this. Off the SMS, players of the show, yes, but the administration has changed the game and run the game for what it is today. Both sides deserve credit. Excellent SMS. I love this one, though. A good mediation is when both parties leave dissatisfied. So let's hurry up and dissatisfy them both.
Well, you'd like to see both sides give a little bit, wouldn't you, Finey? I think that they both need to move their positions a bit. I do think there's a commitment to see the players well paid. Now, I just think that, as I've said, they're getting a little bit caught up in this fixed percentage model.
I think what we've got is posturing. They both know exactly where their line is.
Yes.
And sometimes when it plays out in public, it's a little bit tawdry, but this one, obviously, hasn't been able to be resolved, and that's why we get it on the back page. We'll take one more call and then have a look at the NAB Challenge fixture, assuming it goes ahead. Sean's in Chelsea Heights. Good morning, Shorty.
Morning. Thanks for taking the call, gents.
Thanks for making it.
I think most of what I was thinking is being said. I think, you know, if I was getting 10% pay increase in my job, I'd be more than happy to take it. And these guys are getting to do what they love, and they get remunerated when they don't play as well. But I think that money from the AFL can be put into grassroots, but also just making the game more accessible for the fans in the stadiums and building up the stadiums a bit more.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Yeah. There are times, certainly, when you go to the football now, there's very little pre-game, there's very little around the game.
Yep.
And as far as the spectacle is concerned, when you go to the NRL, certainly Melbourne Storm put on a better show than you get at most AFL games. A-League, not as good as the NRL in my opinion, but still good. Have a look at the Big Bash League. It's a festival of not only playing the game, but also enjoying things around it, and maybe there could be money spent there. I think we tried a couple of years ago with little success.
And I think the AFL, Sean, will also be looking at what they can do with Etihad Stadium now that they've taken over it. They'll be looking to improve that, not only the stadium.
By turning it into a motocross track?
No. I think improving the facilities, not only in the stadium, but around the general concourse area as well. So they've got a bit more freedom to do a bit there.
Sean, we're going to do some improvements for you by batokieing up your Christmas to the rear bumpers off a pig coming your way, thanks to Bataki. The fixture is out for the NAB Challenge, and I've got to say, I've looked at St Kilda. I like it because two games in Melbourne, one in my most hated venue. Do you know what my most hated venue is? Lavington in Albury. Because many years ago, St Kilda were playing North Melbourne at Lavington, and I'd never heard of Lavington. And I had a group of mates that went up there that I go to the football with during the day, and I'd been working. I said I'd meet them up there. And I'm driving around Laverton thinking, surely if there's a game in Laverton between St Kilda and North Melbourne, I'll just follow the crowd. And I make the call. I said, I can't find the ground. They said, where are you? I said, Laverton. I said, well, you're about 2 hours away because we're in Albury. Lavington's in Albury. I'd never heard of Lavington. So St Kilda's playing Sydney there. But I see this is a ripper. Sunday, February the 26th, North Melbourne Hawthorn at Arden Street.
It's fantastic, isn't
it? Doesn't that just read well?
Bring back the elephant. I love seeing the old grounds used. We've got the Witten Oval again. The Dogs have got another game there. The Blues have got another game back at Icon Park or Princess Park, as we knew it more in the past. So the fans have generally really supported those games, finally, and flocked to them. But the regional games as well are a real highlight. And I think, you know, in these games that we know that some teams are taking more seriously than others, let's get them out to the regional centres where the fans really get behind them. And it's a real carnival atmosphere. And anyone who's gone to them, I think, would really love them.
Moe, Bendigo.
Yep.
Great game in Bendigo, Geelong versus Essendon.
Yeah, Joel Selwood, a Bendigo boy, his brother Scott as well. So they get the chance to play, you know, before their home crowd, which I reckon will be a real thrill for them.
The one venue that really stands out is Richmond Oval. Unfortunately, Tigers fans, that's in South Australia, and it's a game between Adelaide and Geelong. So don't make the mistake I made if you're a fan of the Cats and head down to Punt Road.
Read the fine print.
Thinking you're going to see your team playing Richmond Oval, Adelaide. Nick, I want to thank you for coming in.
Thanks, Barney.